Welcome to Science Talk. Now, I know I'm not the only one out there who likes how it feels to walk barefoot across a squeaky clean kitchen floor. And isn't it great to see that sun come streaming through sparkling clean windows? Cleaning house just makes you feel good, unless it doesn't. Unless what you're using to clean your house contains more toxins than it gets rid of. Today, we're asking the question, how clean is your house? Are there dangers lurking in your household products that are doing you more harm than good? Well, we're going to find out with the help of Dr. Scott Olson, naturopathic doctor and medical writer for health sciences and education, and Dr. Jamie McManus, chair of medical affairs and health sciences here at Shackley. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Cynthia. Great to be here.
Hi, Cynthia. Thanks for having me.
Scott, you're new to the Shackley Health Sciences team, but with the title naturopathic doctor, I have a feeling you're going to fit right in here. I understand that the subject of toxins in the home has real meaning to you in your life. Why don't you tell us more?
Well, Cynthia, you're right. You know, around 30 years ago, I began to develop chemical sensitivities. It wasn't any big deal at the beginning, but I soon found that any strong smell, such as perfumes or paint, would make me feel dizzy or even give me a headache. I began to avoid going into stores where there were a lot of plastic items, like those large toy stores. You know, there's actually a scientific term for this problem called multiple chemical sensitivities, and it's more common than you might think. Things really changed for me when I built a bed. I knew I was kind of sensitive, so I chose a natural stain, but that really didn't make any difference. And after sleeping in the bed for a few weeks, I got really sick. And I'm a pretty active guy, but I got to the point where I had difficulties climbing stairs or even walking around the block. Finally, a number of clear vesicles, or bumps, broke out on my skin. So I made an appointment at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine. The doctors there tested my blood and found out that I had liver damage, or chemically induced hepatitis. It turns out the chemicals I encountered every day were destroying my liver.
Gosh, Scott, that must have been incredibly frightening.
Oh, it definitely was. I immediately followed the doctor's advice, cleaned out my house, changed my diet, took some high-grade supplements, and slowly I started to feel better. After that, I was hooked on natural approaches to health. Later, I was accepted to naturopathic school and spent the next 4 years learning about how the body works from a natural and medical perspective. But more importantly, I learned the true source of health and how to support the body's natural self-healing potential. And now I'm here at Shackley, and it does feel like a good fit.
Well, it is a great fit, Scott, and we're really glad that you're here. And how truly frightening to learn that toxins in your everyday environment were causing such significant health issues. It reminds me of the story we've heard from Sloan and Roger Barnett about their son, Spencer. He suffered from reactive airways disease, a form of asthma, and they learned that it was likely triggered by chemical toxins in their home, especially cleaning products.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me, because there are several well-designed studies that connect the chemicals in our home to asthma. And it wouldn't be a stretch to connect the prevalence of those toxic chemicals to an increase in asthma cases. Today, 1 in 10 American children suffer from asthma. That's 3 times as many as were diagnosed in 1980.
And one thing to remember is that a young child's exposure to chemicals in the home is magnified, first because of their body weight and size and the fact that they're closer to the ground where many toxins land, but also because, especially for toddlers and young children, who seem to put everything into their mouths. And that exposure can be especially dangerous because metabolic pathways are immature in children as compared to those of adults. As a consequence of this biological immaturity, young children's ability to detoxify and excrete certain toxins is actually different from that of adults.
And children's nervous and other systems are still developing, so they're not always able to repair damage caused by environmental toxins quite as readily as adults.
Well, that's something I really hadn't thought of. That's very important information.
And before we leave the discussion about asthma, I want to mention that adult asthma is also on the rise, and cleaning sprays used in the home may be a contributor, according to data from the clinical study called the European Community Respiratory Health Survey. That study found a significant association between the use of cleaning sprays in the home and a new onset of asthma.
There are also studies that indicate exposure to chemicals in household cleaning products may significantly increase the risk of Parkinson's disease later in life. And a recent study reported by the National Institutes of Health found that household cleaning product use contributes to increased breast cancer risk because many contain endocrine-disrupting chemicals or mammary gland carcinogens.
In a recent study of thousands of women by Brown University, more than half of the women of childbearing age had a medium or higher levels of at least 2 of 3 pollutants that could harm brain development.
And nearly 23% of American women of childbearing age met or exceeded the median blood levels for lead, mercury, and PCBs. And 82% of women aged 16 to 49 were at or above the median blood levels for one or more of these chemicals, which are passed to fetuses through the placenta and to babies through breast milk.
Gosh, that's frightening news. And I imagine at least some of those pollutants are found in our home environments as well as outdoors.
Scientists are learning more every day about the short and long-term health risks associated with chemicals in many household products, from cleaning sprays to laundry soap to toilet cleaners.
And the fact is, there are potential toxins in cleaning products used in nearly every room of your home. And according to the EPA, for many in this country, the air inside our homes is probably more polluted than the air outside our homes.
Well, it makes you wonder why companies are allowed to sell products that are unhealthy. There seems to be such a disconnect between what we perceive as clean and what may actually be healthy clean.
Well, you're right, and that's partly because we've all been sold a bill of goods by some clever marketing that's made us believe we need strong chemicals to really clean our homes. It's just not true, and it's jeopardizing our health.
Well, I don't believe that anyone sets out to create a toxic environment in their home. In fact, quite the opposite. The goal is to create a safe and clean environment. But the problem is that many of us don't think we've done a thorough cleaning job until we have that strong chemical smell.
What's really ironic is that often manufacturers of those cleaners create a chemical scent that smells something like natural, you know, that lemon or pine. It's mimicking a natural scent to mask the chemical smell. It's just chemicals on top of chemicals, and that's really crazy.
Especially when there are plenty of natural ingredients that do a fine job of cleaning. But let's back up a bit and talk about some of the most dangerous ingredients we should be looking for in cleaning products. Let's name some names.
Good idea. Well, let's start in the bathroom. Did you know if you spend 15 minutes cleaning scale off your shower walls, you can inhale 3 times the safe 1 hour exposure limit for glycol ether? And according to the Department of Health and Human Services, overexposure to glycol ethers can cause irritation of the eyes, nose, or skin, and even anemia.
And you know those products that you use to clean your tub and sink? Well, many of those cleaners contain chlorine-releasing compounds, which can contribute to the formation of organochlorines. And these can be especially dangerous and have been linked to reproductive, endocrine, and immune system disruption.
And other cleaners contain phosphoric acid, another eye, skin, and respiratory irritant. But toilet bowl cleaners may be the biggest danger lurking in your bathroom. Many contain hydrochloric acid and sodium hypochlorite, which, according to the EPA, can be very irritating to your eyes and skin and will even burn your throat if inhaled.
And it's potentially disastrous to mix bleach with acid-based toilet bowl cleaners that contain sodium bisulfate. The chemical reaction from that combo is chlorine gas, which can actually be lethal.
Now, let me just note that if you want to find out if these or other chemicals are in your household products, just check out the National Institutes for Health library. That website is www.householdproducts.nlm.nih.gov. You'll be amazed. Okay, so are we still in the bathroom, so to speak?
No, we've moved to the kitchen. You know, those all-purpose cleaners that are so popular? Well, many contain toxins, including synthetic solvents, which can act as hormone disruptors. That is, they can interfere with our own hormones. And organic solvents, such as butyl cellulose, are neurotoxins and nasal irritants.
And most glass cleaners contain ammonia, which can irritate your skin and eyes, as well as your respiratory system. And I want to talk about dishwasher concentrates. Many on the market contain dry chlorine bleach, which is activated with the water in the dishwasher, forms chlorine fumes that can then be released as steam out of the dishwasher. Phosphates are also in many dishwasher soaps, and these can be especially hard on the environment.
You know, this is sounding pretty grim. I'm almost afraid to move into the laundry room here.
But we should, because there's definitely some hidden dangers in products there. Specifically, did you know that many laundry powders contain irritants that can be absorbed through the skin or inhaled? They can cause contact dermatitis, irritating the skin and eyes, and breathing these powders can irritate the nose, throat, and lungs.
And on the list of products that smell good but behave badly, we should add dryer sheets. Researchers from the University of Washington published a study recently in the journal Air Quality, Atmosphere, and Health that showed that air vented from machines using the top-selling scented liquid laundry detergent and scented dryer sheets contained hazardous chemicals, including 2-acetaldehyde and benzene, that are classified by the EPA as carcinogens. An analysis from the captured gases coming from dryer vents showed more than 25 volatile organic compounds, including 7 hazardous air pollutants.
And now, one of the most popular makers of fabric softeners is marketing one with time-release features. So those chemicals keep releasing into your sheets, your towels, your environment, for days. So now you're not just exposed immediately after the clothes come out of the dryer, but while you wear the clothes.
And don't forget carpet cleaners, especially industrial strength cleaners, because they may contain chemicals that pose a severe health risk, including formaldehyde, hydrofluoric acid, perchloroethylene, and nitrilotriacetate.
Also, some of the products marketed to help remove spots from your carpet can be particularly dangerous because they contain chemical solvents that are very much like those used by dry cleaners. These chemicals will dissolve dirt without soap and water, but they give off toxic fumes in the process.
So there are potential toxins in many products, and not just the products for the tough jobs, but even laundry soap and carpet cleaner. Amazing.
Well, that's right. And each of these chemicals is toxic in themselves, but most have never been tested for toxicity when they're combined, the way that we use them. Who knows how dangerous they may be when they're all mixed up in the air in our homes.
And remember, we spend a lot of hours in our homes, and we raise our children in our homes. So we do have to think about long-term cumulative exposure, as well as the occasional exposures.
And you know, it's not just cleaning products. There are other household items, too. Even something as seemingly innocuous as a shower curtain. In fact, a year ago, the LA Times wrote a story about an environmental organization that tested several shower curtains from prominent stores. Most all that were tested contained high concentration of phthalates plus varying concentration of organotins. One of the curtains they tested released measurable quantities of up to 108 volatile organic compounds into the air. Some of these persisted for nearly a month, and that was just a shower curtain. Another study showed a single plug-in air freshener contained more than 20 different volatile organic compounds.
And I read a study published online in the journal Environmental Impact Assessment Review that was led by the University of Washington. Those researchers discovered that 25 commonly used scented products, including these air fresheners that Scott has mentioned, sprays, solids, and oils, laundry products including detergents, fabric softeners and dryer sheets, personal care products such as soaps, hand sanitizers, lotions, deodorants, and shampoos, and cleaning products including disinfectants, all-purpose sprays, and dish detergents emitted an average of 17 chemicals each. Of the 133 total chemicals detected, nearly a quarter of these were classified as toxic or hazardous under at least one federal law. But only one of these chemicals was listed on a product label, and only 2 were publicly disclosed anywhere.
And let's talk about another source of toxic exposure in our homes, the water that we drink. The EPA has drinking water regulations for a little bit more than 90 contaminants. In actuality, there are thousands of contaminants can be found in drinking water today, and we find new emerging contaminants all the time. It's very difficult for the EPA to keep up. So my advice is to either filter the water before you drink it, or it's you who becomes a filter.
Oh gosh, that sounds terrible. Definitely filter your water before you drink it. That's great advice. Now, let's share some other positive steps folks can take.
Well, while there are many toxins in our homes we can do nothing about, there's some proactive steps we can be taking. For example, dust carries toxins. So by reducing dust in the house, vacuuming, and changing the filter in our air conditioning or furnace, you can reduce your exposure.
And just say no to dryer sheets, unless they're made with non-toxic materials. Also, reduce your use of plastic wherever possible. Plastic food packaging is a major source of these potentially harmful chemicals, which most Americans harbor in their bodies.
And also, you should wash new clothes or linens when you first get them home. They're often coated with a flame retardant. Kids' clothing is worse. Make sure that you wash anything that touches their bodies before you allow them to wear it or sleep in it. And add plants to your home. Talk about a natural air conditioner.
And finally, throw out all those harsh chemical household cleaners that do more harm than good. Real Clean has nothing to do with chemicals.
And the good news is, there are great products on the market that are safe for you and for your family. So buy them and use them.
So that's the charge we leave with you today, listeners. Go to the websites we mentioned, and don't be afraid to do your own research, your own digging. Look at the products you use and trade the toxic products for safer alternatives. Just begin today to make a commitment to truly green, non-toxic, and whenever possible, natural products. Thank you, Scott and Dr. McManus, for sharing so much important information with us today. I can't think of a better way to celebrate Earth Day than to detoxify every room of your house. Thanks for tuning in.